All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we've been studying in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. And I'm going to back up to verse 20 where we started last time. And it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation or with outward show. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Now, he was speaking to unsaved Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, and so forth. And he wasn't alluding to the kingdom of God being within them, but the kingdom of God was in their midst because God the Son was in their midst. And, of course, the nation of Israel rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. There were many that believed on him, about 500 during his public ministry. And considering all the things that he did and all that was written in the Old Testament scriptures about him, that seems like not a very big number. He performed all kinds of miracles. Healed lepers, caused the blind to see, fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch, fed another 4,000, and that was just counting the men. So probably in both instances, anywhere between 20 and 30,000 people. And still, it just shows you, faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the fact that Jesus performed miracles in the midst of the Jews, and the scriptures tell us over in Corinthians that the Jews require a sign. But the signs didn't change their mind. And then in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "There is only one sign that will be given to you, and that's the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish," and it says fish, but the translators, presuming that, they didn't know that one of the largest animals in the sea feeds on some of the smallest, brill and things of that sort. So they assumed that it was a whale. No, it was a fish, and whatever the fish was, we don't know what it was. But it says God prepared the fish. Okay. So it could have been any kind of fish that was large enough to hold a man within it. And Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. And finally, with a backslidden preacher in your gut for 3 days, the fish vomited him up. And then he did what he had been told to do in the first place. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Of course, the Ninevites repented at the things that he preached. And he didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to be judged. But then later on, of course, they went back into their idolatry, just like the Jews. I've been reading in the Old Testament, and you see so-and-so was a king. Did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not as David his father. And then there'll be a number of different kings, and they did that which is evil. And really, it's tied to the singular evil that was received from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That evil was that you can be like God by knowing the difference between right and wrong. That was the fruit of the tree. So Jesus went on to say to them then, the kingdom of God comes not with outward show, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you or in your midst. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. Now let's go over to the first chapter of the book of Acts. You would think And Jesus taught his disciples many things, but he was teaching them during the covenant of the law. And it's amazing, they understood very little. They knew that he was the Christ. They had their faith in him, and all of that. But let's begin at verse 1 of the first chapter of Acts. The former treatise, which is referring to the book of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus, all that... the word Theophilus, by the way, in the Greek would mean lover of God. Yeah. O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Now, he came into the upper room. We were studying that last week. And, there were so many things that Jesus said. Came and stood in their midst, and they were terrified and affrighted. You know? And being seen of them 40 days, that is, he met, after he was raised from the dead, he showed himself alive for 40 days, 40 nights. And then now we're going to see his ascension into heaven. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God really is all of the realm of who God is. And so being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Now, throughout the New Testament, the word promise, and here's one of the places where they actually translated the definite article. There's a number of different things that are called the singular promise. See, it's in the singular. It's the promise. But all of the promises that are made up of the promise are all things that Jesus Christ, that were prophesied of him that he would do, and he fulfilled them. And, of course, the promise was that he would die for our sins according to the Scriptures, be buried and rise again the third day according to the Scriptures. Which saith he, you have heard of me. That if you go into the Old Testament Scriptures, and Jesus, remember when he met those two on the road to Emmaus, their hearts, burned within him as he expounded unto them the word of God. You know, that must have been quite a Bible study. You know, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all of the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, that's, I'm sure he did it just pointing out one Scripture after another, but because to do all of that within the time span that he had to do it would have been very difficult to enlarge upon all of those promises, but he pointed them out to them. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized how? With the Holy Ghost, or with the Holy Spirit, is be a better translation, not many days hence. Remember, let's go back to the 14th chapter of John. And this is quite a comfort when you think about it in the age in which we live. Everybody in this age, the moment that the Spirit of God quickens the Word of God to our hearts and minds so that we can believe and be saved, at that moment, we are baptized by God's Holy Spirit. And that baptism has many aspects to it. First of all, we're counted to have died with Christ. We're counted to have been buried with Christ. We're counted to have been raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. And we're counted to be seated with Christ already in the heavenlies. So, is there any possibility? The majority of churches under the canopy of Christianity teach because they think, according to the lie of the devil, which is a knowledge of good and evil, they think that if you sin a particular kind of sin after that you've been saved, you can lose your salvation. Well, grace, first of all, let's think about some of our studies in Ephesians. In Ephesians, we've looked at our Lord from the standpoint of who He is. God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no ending. The scripture says in anthropomorphic terms, which are anthropos is man, so that's in terms that we might understand, that He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But since God is eternal and He's eternally omniscient, He chose us from all eternity. So He chose us, and He chose us knowing full well that Lucifer would introduce sin into the Garden of Eden. He chose us knowing full well that Eve would be deceived, and that Adam would die for his wife, and he ate also of the tree. And so that's why Adam is said to be in the fifth chapter of Romans a type of Christ. Right? Now, there isn't any human being that could be a perfect type of Christ. You know, Abraham was a type of Christ. David was a type of Christ. But all of these men had sin in them, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So in taking the comparisons in Scripture, with God comparing Christ to certain individuals, they are types of Christ in some aspect, but not in every aspect, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, but our Lord is eternally sinless. He's eternally God. And so it says here in John 14, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you for what period of time? Forever. Now, He's speaking to the disciples in an Old Testament situation. He hasn't yet died. And He's promising that they're going to receive the Spirit of God, and that's what we just read about. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. That's when the Spirit of God was coming upon them. And when we read the eighth chapter of the book of Romans, we find out, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's what? He's none of His. So, how does that work? None of the Old Testament saints were permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And none of them went to heaven when they died. They all went into paradise. And they were held captive in paradise until Jesus led captivity captive. And when He did, God counted them to have died with Christ, to have been buried with Christ. And then when Christ ascended into heaven, He took their souls with Him into heaven, into bodies which He prepared for them, bodies in which they will, come again to the earth. Now, there was one group of them that remember when Jesus was on the cross, there was an earthquake. And when that earthquake shook, the graves that were just down below Golgotha were open. That's where the Jewish cemetery was. And the people that were near those graves could see the bones of the dead bodies in those graves. And the scripture is very clear that after Christ was raised from the dead, they were raised from the dead. So when Jesus led captivity captive, it was mostly the souls of Old Testament saints. But with that one particular group, it was body and soul. They were raised and glorified and adopted and taken into heaven. And I believe there was 144,000 of them. We find that out because Christ is called in the scripture the first fruits unto God. And the 144,000 are called the first fruits unto God. And Jesus rose from the dead on what Jewish feast? The feast of first fruits. So that was the first fruits of the resurrection that we're looking for. But there were some that were already raised, the first fruits, just like a tree. If it has apples on it, you get one or two, maybe three apples that get ripe before the rest, and all the rest are still green as gourds. Yeah. And then after a bit, then you have your main harvest, and most of them get ripe pretty close to one another. And then there's some deep into the tree that don't get quite as much sunlight. They're still green, and they're the final gleanings. You can go back to the tree and pick a few later on. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is in a threefold way. Christ's the first fruits, and of course, we believe the 144,000 were raised with him. And then the main harvest went all the way back to Adam. Every Old Testament saint, along with the dead in Christ, they're going to be raised first, be caught up to where we are, and then together we're going to ascend into heaven, where we'll be with the Lord for 7 years. And then the Lord's going to come again to this earth and destroy the Antichrist and cast the Antichrist, the false prophet, into the lake of fire. Yeah. And then of course, there's going to be a millennial reign. I want you to know that Alexandria, what's her name, Ocasio-Cortez, she said because of global warming in 12 years, that's going to be the end of the world. She is a senator or a congressman from New York City who's dumber than a stump. And, you know, she's just very exuberant, you know, all hands. And they've done a survey. Amongst the Democrats, if she was old enough to be president, they would try to put her up for president right away. And she hasn't got any understanding of anything. And she wants to put 70% tax on everybody that's, you know, she says it's immoral for people to be billionaires. Who in the world does she think provides the jobs in this world? Poor people don't provide jobs. Yeah. And she's a socialist through and through. Anyway, coming back to this, so we're going to be raised. And then we're going to live on this earth with the Lord when he returns with us for 1,000 years. And there's a particular group over in the 25th chapter of Matthew that are going to be raised because, or not raised, but they're going to be allowed to live during the millennial reign of Christ for one reason. It says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. But when we read the book of the Revelation, we find that at the first part of the of the millennial reign of Christ, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. So he can't activate the fallen nature of these people. And as long as they live, without being disobedient to the Lord, they will live for 1,000 years. And then the devil is going to be loosed a little season, and he's going to go out, and this group of people that enter the kingdom based upon their good work are going to come with the devil against the camp of the saints and try to destroy us and the Lord. And God is going to set down fire from heaven and burn them up. Yeah. And then we'll have the great white throne judgment. So 12 years, no. We've got, even if we were raptured in 12 years, then you'd have 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. Then you'd have the millennial reign of Christ. So this earth is not going to be destroyed because of global warming at any time. Now, during the Great Tribulation period, we're really going to have some global warming because the last 3.5 years, God's going to change the path of the orbit. You know, the Earth turns on this axis, I should say. So it's on a tilted axis, and then it orbits around the sun. And as it orbits around the sun, that produces 1 year. and as it rotates on its own axis, that produces one day. So if the Earth, spins faster, whatever causes it for the day to be shortened by one third, then from 24 it's going to go down. What would it be, 16? Or it'd be a 16-hour day. Okay, to have the same number of days in a year, then you're going to have to bring the orbit of this of the Earth closer to the sun. And it tells us over in the book of the Revelation that people are going to chew their tongues in pain, because of the great heat. So God's got it all figured out, and it's not global warming, but there will be global warming during the Great Tribulation period. Okay? Now, let's pick up with this promise. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then later on, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So up above we're promised that the Holy Spirit, who was with Old Testament saints, would then be in Old Testament saints, and not only the Holy Spirit, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're indwelt by the Godhead. Now, let's go over to the first chapter of the book of Acts, and I started to read this, and I want to come back to it now. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. So he promised, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And so he was crucified and buried and spent 72 hours in the grave. As promised in the 12th chapter of Matthew. 3 days and three nights. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now the promise, we just looked at it in the 14th chapter of John, is the promise of the Holy Spirit. If we go on in the book of Acts, we'll see that on the day of Pentecost, in the second chapter, that the Spirit of God was permanently given to the saints. They manifested it by speaking in foreign languages. What is, let me put it this way, what is your native tongue? We use the word tongue to denote a language. And if we go over to that second chapter, let me point this out. In verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now, the Jews of the diaspora had to be in Jerusalem, along with the inhabitants of all of Palestine. They had to be in Jerusalem three times in the year. They had to be there for Passover, they had to be there for Pentecost, and they had to be there for the Feast of First Fruits. So that literally put them there for all seven feasts of the Jews. And if they're going to travel that long a distance in order to be there, they're going to be there for all of them. Okay? Now notice, you count them as I read them. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. How many did you get? Was it? What?
5 times 3.
Anyway, those were all individual languages. That's the point. You 15? Okay. So at least 15 different languages of the world were being spoken in Jerusalem on that day. Okay. Now, in the Pentecostal church, in the day in which we live, people say they're speaking with a heavenly language. Nobody understands it but God and angels. You know? And so, yeah, God is not the author of confusion. For if somebody stands up and blah, 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 a bunch of gibberish, and in fact we're told if a person is going to speak in another language, they have to have a witness that can speak his language so that he can translate it to the people. Otherwise, they're to keep silent. Okay? So we see that there are some rules that have been disobeyed by a good many who profess to be Christians. Now let's go over to, we have the promise of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I didn't read quite far enough in Acts 1. Let's pick up, and he says unto them in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own authority. You know, power is dunamis. This is the word for authority. Okay. But ye shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, the apostles basically witnessed amongst the Jews throughout the world. And in Jerusalem, and the Apostle Paul, and he chose Barnabas, and then later Silas, and they took the gospel to the Gentile nations of the world. Now think about how God prepared the world at that point in time. You know, I heard somebody saying, you know, if we had walls, the baby Jesus wouldn't have been able to flee from Jerusalem. And that's bloody stupid. At that point in time, the whole world was ruled by Rome, and you could travel anywhere in the Roman Empire, okay? And you didn't need you have to have a passport and a visa. A visa is a permit from the country that you're going to go to, or the countries, which allows you to enter in for whatever lawful purpose for a specific period of time. But the Apostle Paul and the others that went forth preaching the Word of God didn't have that limitation because God had set up the world so that it had one language that the whole world spoke, and that was Greek, Koine Greek. And there was a one-world system. The Romans ruled the world, so you could go anywhere in the world, you know, and you could speak to people when you got there. Sure, they had their native languages, but they all understood Koine Greek as well. See, so God had prepared the world, just like the scripture says he prepared the fish for Jonah. He prepared the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so then the promise is, ye shall receive the Holy Spirit, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, the cloud, I believe, was 144,000 in their white garments, which speak of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he ascended into heaven in a cloud, and he will come again in the clouds in the book of the Revelation. Well, he's going to say to us, come up hither, and then we're going to return again to the earth with him. See, so the coming for us could happen at any point in time. The coming with us will be 7 years after the reign of the Antichrist, who, let's go to the book of the Revelation now, 17th chapter. And this was written, as we will see in this 17th chapter. I, rather than getting ahead of myself, we'll just read part of it. And first of all, it says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, the great whore is a one-world church made up of all the religions of the world and headed up by the Antichrist and the false prophet, okay, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. We're not talking about fornication in the physical sense, but fornication in the spiritual sense. They have believed the lie of the devil. And since most of the religious systems of this world think in terms of a knowledge of good and evil, they all have some sort of morality. And when you study comparative religions in college, the reason that they say that there are comparative religions is because they all have a moral basis upon which they, worship whatever they call their God. But the moral basis is not the same. Of course, the world believes there are many gods, and we know that there's only one. And then he says, so he carried me away in verse 3, in the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This woman is the harlot Babylon. She's the counterfeit, church. Okay, and the woman was arrayed in purple and a scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. We're not talking about natural fornication. We're talking about spiritual fornication. She's brought all of the false religious systems together into a one-world system. So politically, there's going to be a one-world system. And religiously, there's going to be a one-world system. It's going to be headed up by the Antichrist and the false prophet, who will probably be the Pope, because everyone thinks of Christianity, the head of Christianity is in Rome. You know? So the false prophet will probably be the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will not come to Jerusalem, but will come to Rome. See? And counterfeit the second coming of Jesus Christ. And upon her forehead, that is on the harlot Babylon, it says, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Harlots is used here not in the sense of physical harlotry, but in the sense of spiritual harlotry, people who worship falsely. Now, the Jews, when they entered into the land, God told them to destroy the inhabitants of the land, and under Joshua, they did a pretty good job. But after that, after that Joshua died, Israel began to worship all the false gods in the land. And, they worshiped Baal, they worshiped Rimpan, they worshiped Astra. I mean, just you name any false god, they worshiped. And Baal was worshiped by sexual immorality. Was the case with most of the idolatrous systems of that day. So, you take, it's very popular, Hey, I can go here and I can have as many women as I want. Women say, I can have as many men as I want. It appeals to the flesh. And that's why God warned against it, And there's only one true and living God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's eternal. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. Some marvelous things said about him in Scripture. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. During the tribulation period, this woman is going to put to death anybody that won't believe or take the mark of the beast. So if a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the 144,000, they're almost instantly going to be put to death. That's the blood of the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, or I was in awe of her. You know, she was a marvel, let's put it that way. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. Now before I'll make another political statement, the progressives in this country, you know, they want to attack any religious system that doesn't believe in the LGBT community. Okay? So if I preach from the third chapter of Romans, then the governor of the state of Oregon will take away our tax exempt status. You know? Well, I'm going to preach whatever the Word of God says wherever I am at whatever point in time. Paul said to the Corinthians, many of them whom had been a part of that so-called LGBT community, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. There isn't a sin except the unpardonable sin, which is worshiping the devil as God, you know, and it can come many different ways, is substituting the lie of the devil for the truth of the Word of God. And no believer can commit that sin. That's the only sin that isn't pardonable. So, you know, what man does, and Joanne was mentioning it today, that they're aborting babies all the way up to the time of birth. Just if they haven't come out of the womb yet, a woman's been pregnant for 9 months, rather than giving birth, they can abort the baby. And how in the world anyone can rationalize that and not realize, as our Lord said, He's going to bring judgment on those that believe on me. And He says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Okay. So the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints in verse 6. And with the martyrs of the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration, I couldn't fathom it all. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. Now, the beast that carries the woman is the Antichrist, okay? Which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest. And when you read this description and consider the scripture, and in the scripture, Jesus referred to Judas Iscariot as the devil, and he referred to the devil or to Judas Iscariot as the son of perdition. Okay? Those are both names for the Antichrist. And the beast that was, that thou sawest was, that is, he has existed, is not at the time that this was written, just during the reign of Nero, and Nero died in 68 AD. So during that period of time, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So Judas Iscariot wasn't alive at that point in time, but he's going to come out of the pit, according to the 17th chapter. And he's going to come to the earth and demand that people worship him and believe on him. And if they don't, they won't be able to buy or sell. So the man, you ever read in the Old Testament scripture? I think of this every time that I see one of these ads with a famous actor trying to sell you silver or gold. And the scripture says that the time will come when people will cast their gold from them and their silver into the street, because it will be worthless. You know, they'll have to worship the Antichrist in order to be able to buy or sell. So the people that will cast it away will probably be that group of Jews that will believe on the Lord during the Great Tribulation period and be instantly Well, it can be Gentiles as well, but instantly put to death. Okay, so the people on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So the unsaved world will believe on this creature, the beast, but those that are going to be saved will not. And when they behold the beast that was, see, he said pre-existed, at the time of the writing of the book of the Revelation, he didn't exist, but he's going to come again to this earth and be a counterfeit Christ, and the world is going to believe that he is the Lord Jesus Christ when he will actually be the devil incarnate, and I believe he'll come in the form of Judas Iscariot. He was, and he was not, and he will be. And Jesus referred to Judas as both, we already mentioned that. But, I mean, he referred to him as the son of perdition. He referred to him as the devil. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, Rome is seated on seven hills. And there are seven kings. Now, in the Roman history to this point in time, I'll read this and then I'll come back and name them. There are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The one that is going to come will be the eighth, which is the Antichrist. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. And who could better bet, who could counterfeit the ministry of Jesus Christ better than Judas Iscariot? In the midst of the disciples, when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, they all said what? Is it I? Okay. Now, at the time that this book was written, we had Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, Caligula Caesar, Claudius Caesar, and Nero. And five are fallen, that is, they lived and died. One is, that was Nero. And one is yet to come, that was Vespasian. And Vespasian was the one who caused the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Okay. So God counts history with respect to the history of the Jews. So none of the empires that ruled in, Germany conquered pretty much everything Rome conquered during World War I. They did it again in World War II, yet we don't count Germany. Why? Because Israel wasn't a nation. She was buried in the Gentile nations of the world. After the war, May 14th in 1948, Israel became a nation again. Okay? So you can see how complex prophecy is. But if you study to show yourself approved unto God, you can begin to put the pieces together and where they fit. You can't twist them and make one thing or the other. I want to read down to the end of this chapter and then we'll close. Now, and the ten horns which thou sawest, the ten horns represent the counterfeit church. The counterfeit church has trusted in the lie of the devil. While they say that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they deny him. So the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. See? So they're going to rule and reign with the Antichrist, just as genuine believers are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. These have one mind, so there's total unity, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him, that will be us, are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongue. It's the whole world. Okay? And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore. I don't think I read that right. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So these ten counterfeit churches are going to ultimately destroy the Antichrist. And God, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And that woman which thou sawest is what? That great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. At the writing of this book of the Revelation, what was the great city that ruled over the earth? It was Rome. Okay. And Rome has continued to exist, not as a political power, but as a religious power. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And as we reflect upon the coming of the Lord, for the Jews, Jesus was in their midst, but they didn't recognize him, though they should have recognized him, for he fulfilled all that was written about him that would be fulfilled in his first advent. And then those same nations that failed to believe on the Lord when he was in their midst, the individuals from those nations will accept the Antichrist and be deceived. But we as believers in Jesus Christ, we cannot be deceived because we're involved with the Holy Spirit and we have eternal life and we shall never perish. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.